every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona, on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. It's 8 o'clock. It's Saturday morning. It's Rosie on the House, the Outdoor Living Hour. And we've got Jay Harper in studio with us if you want to talk landscape.
Turn them sprinklers off.
Amen.
Man, was this a great last 2 weeks with all this moisture. Hallelujah.
Hopefully you have turned your sprinklers off. And leave them off for a while. I mean, I think I had about 2 inches in the last out of these last like 3 storms.
Yes.
At my house. So you've got plenty of moisture. It's really fresh. If you haven't been outside yet this morning, go out and take a big, deep breath. It's fabulous. We all need some good, clean air anyway. It'd be cleansing. It's just fresh. It's crisp and cool and moist and wet. And oh,
I didn't run the numbers, but just off of a gut hunch, I think this week we had more rain than we've had in the last 6 months, 7 months, 8 months.
Oh, probably since last spring.
Yeah?
Yeah, probably in almost a year. And yet, Rosie and I were visiting, before we came on, a friend of mine, Don Waldemeyer, over at Treeland Nurseries, was showing me the lake levels, Salt River Project lake levels. And before this storm, our lake levels were actually just a skosh, let's just call it the same as they were a year ago at this time. I had no idea that we were still in that good shape. They'll fill more than likely. I would not be surprised if they have to let water out down the river with the Verde River lakes.
They say more clouds headed this way.
Midweek.
And come on, baby. Come on, boy.
Keep them rolling.
All of creation's rejoicing right now. Woo!
Yeah, I know it. Some of my farmer customers are not real happy right now because they're trying to harvest stuff, and that makes it a little hard to do.
And some of us didn't put it down pre-emergent.
Well, no. You know what? Wet ground is almost as good. So get it on there and you'll have to water it in. But the fact that the ground is moist and before it warms up, because once these soil temperatures go up, oh baby, those little weedies are going to be growing like crazy.
You know, one of the best things we've invested in, it was a couple $100, but it was a spray wagon you tow behind your quad.
Oh yeah.
And it'll go up to 40 gallons. You know, the first couple weekends we had it, I was filling that thing up 40 gallons and still not getting everything. Now 5 gallons and I've got the whole property, because you're just hitting little tiny heads as they come up here and there. Mm-hmm. You're spot treating. You're not treating these huge, you know, massive patches of weeds. And I'm finally got the ragweed under control.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things are, the goats won't even eat them.
it's pretty rough stuff. There's a reason it's called ragweed.
It starts, it takes over an area like Troy. I mean, it just, if you let it.
Well, the bad one, too, this last couple of years has been that that wild chamomile. Stinkweed, they call it, whatever. It has a very odd odor. Gets little yellow flowers on it, and it just spreads like crazy. So, be interesting to see.
As soon as I pick one of those, I sneeze.
Yeah.
Start sneezing. Yeah. As soon as you touch it.
It's pretty nasty stuff.
So what's that called?
It's wild chamomile is what it is, but a lot of people call it stinkweed. It has a very unique odor, to put it mildly. It's pretty noxious stuff. Don't know where it came from. It just kind of appeared the last couple of years, and just, man, there's just blankets of it in places.
If you'd like to join the conversation, ask questions about your landscape or garden, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to snap a picture. And as I was sitting here giving the text number, we got one. A listener wants to know, is it too late? let's see. I have a nice little green carpet in my rock backyard.
Mm-hmm. Already.
So they're saying it's already too late for the pre-emergent.
Well, you know, that doesn't mean everything's germinated, and the soil temperatures are still pretty cool. So it's never too late. It's too late to prevent that material that's already sprouted, obviously, but there's more to come. I mean, we get more moisture, and as I mentioned, as soon as we get a couple of 75, 80 degree days, wow, stuff will really take off. So I would still recommend do it. The nice thing about most pre-emergents are you can mix them with your post-emergent herbicide and get it all in one shot.
And if you're doing a liquid spray?
If you're doing a liquid spray, yes, yes.
So
yeah, so something to keep in mind.
It's too late for what you have, but like Jay said, there's plenty more to come. And it's funny how slow it takes, how everything's growing, and how slow it takes the you know, whatever you use to spray. You know, you can just see how slow it's growing because it takes what usually is 1 or 2 days in the summer and the
right,
weeds fried.
Right.
3 weeks later, you can tell it's dying, but you can still see the weeds still there.
Yeah, it is a slower process when the plant is not growing very much to eradicate it. But yeah, but it will work. Just make sure it doesn't get rained on for about 24 hours after you put it down. The exact opposite of a pre-emergent. But
you want to put it down when it's raining,
or it has to be ahead of the rain. It has to be watered in and incorporated. So that's the trick of combining them in your spray. Is you can't wait. You can't water it in right away, but you can't wait too long to water it in because you want to get the pre-emergent watered in at the same time.
If you follow along in your Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, you can see today in our Outdoor Living Hour, we have a garden book review tag to talk about. And Jay, you've got some very loved literature there. What'd you bring in?
I got an old, the Western Garden book's probably been the standby for most people in the Western United States as just a general kind of a plant encyclopedia, I suppose. I don't even know if it's still under publication. Sunset, magazine, the gardening outdoor living magazine, published it. And the nice thing was it was zoned, so depending on where you lived and what elevation or climatic zone you lived in, that they would tell you what would grow or, what would have the best chance of growing. And it's pretty general and not specific, but it was a neat, a lot of good pictures, a lot of good illustrations. So you could generally find at least a little description of almost anything in there, from vegetables to shade trees. That's the Western Garden book. So I did not check on Amazon or any place to see if that was still out there and being available. But it's a good one to have if you just want to have kind of a good general encyclopedia for the Western part of the country.
And when you say zoned?
Well, so like depending on your elevation / temperature zones, for instance, windmill palm, and then the first thing it tells you is zones 4 to 24. It will grow. And then it'll tell you the exposure it'll grow in and kind of how big a water user it is. So you could go to the, I believe it's in the front part of the book. Yeah. And find, in our case, obviously we live in Arizona. So it says California, Nevada.
And then it'll
Colorado,
help you buy
New Mexico, Hawaii.
Elevation from Tucson.
And basically it's elevation driven, right? So, California is a big state.
Yes.
A lot of stuff. So, and then it'll tell you, what zone you're in and so forth and so on. So, it's very helpful. So, it's a good one to have. Then I brought, this was my dad, one of my dad's, this rode around in his pickup. You can tell it got used pretty hard. But it is Thompson's Spanish to English Illustrated Agricultural Dictionary. So all the, all the plant names, anything that you would kind of need to know for, the Spanish word for Cabbage is repollo, repollo. Cactus is cacto, just in case you're wondering.
I can remember that one. No, that's easy.
But even things like
it's not ripe yet.
Calcium nitrate, different things like that are in here. So, that's kind of fun. So, anyway.
Could be handy at harvest time.
Yeah. When you had, Hispanic workers working for you, it was pretty handy to have around. But anyway, I think the book thing has certainly been changed by the internet. You can kind of look up specific things and just read about one specific topic now rather than buying a whole book on citrus. You can look up, Tangelos and just read about it. But there at one time we had, literally two or three racks of different books. In nurseries, it was not uncommon to hold Sunset books and HP books and, from all kinds of topics, how to build decks to how to, landscaping, specific parts of landscaping, how to install sprinkler systems, on and on and on and on. There was a book for it.
And they still exist. They're just a lot of them are digital. And our email has been the same for over 20 years. So the amount of different press releases and PR agencies that have it. So we're constantly sent. It's amazing how many books are still being published and they want us to review it and they want us to talk about it. It's hard to find, that was one of the things I liked about that first book you mentioned, The Zone. So many are these great, beautiful books, but it's like, okay, if you live in Iowa, this would work. or you live in Washington. So few are relevant to our area.
There's been some pretty good local authors. Mary Irish did some books that I'm sure you can still find that were very specific for here. Kathy Cromwell did some books. There's a little book. I think it's still on Amazon. I looked it up. And it's published by the Valley Garden Center. And it's kind of a beginner's book. I can't remember the name of it. I wrote it down somewhere.
Well,
are we going to a break?
We'll are. Get it when we'll get it back. After. There you go.
All right.